You're talking shit, but a hell of it. Addicted to betrayal, but you're relevant. Hey bitches, welcome back to That's the Worst, the Unpopular Opinion Podcast. We are your hosts, Kev and Lizzie, and we have a lot of opinions that are well unpopular.
We sure do.
We always do.
You know what? I want everybody to just cross your fingers, cross your toes. We are on a new platform today. There's just always a new platform for That's the Worst, the Unpopular Opinion Podcast. And just cross your fingers that this actually records. Let's just say up a prayer.
The main issue in this situation is that nobody wants it to be accessible right. to be able to make a podcast.
Corporate
and
greed.
All of these things decide, oh, this isn't going to be free anymore. Or, oh, you can only record a 20-minute podcast. Uh-huh. Well, that's not how we operate here.
Right.
Unless you were our first episode when Kev thought we were going to have a 5-minute podcast.
Here's the thing, though. They always underestimate our grit and our dedication.
We're going to figure it out. And we're going to... Yeah, continue to find new free websites.
Because we've been through it all, folks. We've done it on Skype. We've done it on Zoom. We've done it on Spotify. We've done it on the moon. We've done it in Mars. We've done it in space. Like, and you know what's so crazy is when that I saw that the Morning Toast has only been around for 6 years. Like, bitch, we've been around for five.
We're like right around that. Yeah.
And that was like that year when you were like, oh, they started this cool thing called a podcast. Like, let's do it. And then it was like we were right behind them. And they get all this corporate dollars, corporate packs, funding packs. And we're just the thing is we're grassroots small business owners. And nobody literally pays attention to us. We need to have a union.
Yeah, we're not trying to be corrupt over here, you know?
Right, exactly. did you?
Apologies.
So I actually did see that there is a This Is the Worst podcast now. And it's just.
Are you
like,
serious?
Can people like get a life? You know what I mean? Like get your own ideas for once in your life.
Is it like successful?
Well, it was one of those ones that's probably like by a media company or whatever because I got it fed to me on TikTok. So I'm sure it might just be a little bit more successful than ours, but not that much more successful, of course.
Well, I think we could like go after them.
Well, copyright infringement. Right, exactly. Let's lawyer up.
Well, maybe they wanted to call it That's the Worst. And
then I was already taken.
Who is this? Brittany Ferlin Lee is one of the hosts. Do
yeah,
you know who that
you
is?
Find it?
Oh, her spouse is Tommy Lee.
Who's that?
Isn't that someone?
Spike Lee. Tommy Lee, like Pamela Anderson.
He's in like in Motley Crue. The band.
Right. Like from
I
Pamela?
Guess she's married.
Pamela and Tommy?
Sure. And then Brittany Schmidt is the other co-host. Let's see who that is.
We've got some new enemies. Those are mortal enemies number one and number two now.
Oh my God. And then their Instagram handle is This Is The Worst Pod.
Oh my God. Like get your own ideas.
No, but we should start like going after their fans and then maybe they'll get them mixed up and then come over to our podcast. I think there's some value behind this.
Well, it's like us. JoJo Siwa karma. Exactly. We got to jump onto them.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing.
Oh my God.
Always think that
I cannot believe
worst.
That. Like,
I'm sorry.
Makes me so mad. No, I'm just so mad.
I know. We always think that is the worst is like kind of confusing. Like that's the worst. But you know what's even more confusing than that's the worst is this is the worst. Because it's like, wait, are you're like saying your podcast is the worst. This is the worst. We're saying that's the worst. You know, it's all about English grammar 101.
When we named this podcast, were we saying, oh, that's the worst a lot? Like, is that what made us came up with it?
I think it's like when they named the Sex and the City offshoot and Just Like That. And then you go back and you're like, oh, they actually did say and Just Like That a lot. But it was you never really picked up on it. I think maybe.
Right. And now they make it a part of every episode.
Oh, my God. That's the worst. Oh, my God. That is just the worst. You know,
their tagline is making the best of the worst.
Fuck off. That's so
stupid. I'm going to DM them and be. You guys actually are the worst, and you owe us. They have 36,000 followers, so they can fuck you off.
They're owned by somebody, right? Dear Media or some sort of conglomerate.
Just Media House.
Jesus Halliburton, Christ. Which is owned by Halliburton. I want everybody to know that I am currently Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, 5 days sober without a phone. Thank you very much. And that means
not
that,
without alcohol, though.
No. I've 5 days drunk with alcohol. I asked Lizzie to repost something on the That's the Worst Instagram, and I don't think it got posted. Shit, I forgot. And the real test will be if I can promote this episode on That's the Worst Instagram. So
let me see if I can. I don't even have Instagram on my phone right now, so. I was like, you know what? Kev's going to have a little bit of a social media cleanse, so I can have one too. Yep, I can hear your video.
I look like just so I can.
Your video froze, but your audio was fine.
Okay.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep, I can hear you great. You sound great. Amazing. So one of my lowest moments was when I was a few drinks deep and I didn't have my phone and I just really wanted. I can go on the Instagram like desktop version, but you can't post on your story from the desktop version. So I like Googled like how do you post on your Instagram story from the desktop version. You literally have to like inspect the page, transform your browser into a mobile view. Then from the mobile view, you can like post on your Instagram story. So that's when I have found out that like addiction is real and like substance use disorder like really is an issue with phones and mobile phones because it's like, can I just spend 1 week not posting on my Instagram story? The answer is no, I literally can't.
Absolutely
so
not.
I'm not really having like a full cleanse, but I definitely can't like do most of the functionality on the phone. But we're going to make it to 1 week, no phone, and then I'm going to really try and get it fixed when I get home. So,
okay. You just have a couple more days.
Yep. It's basically the end of the week already, and we're going to get back to it. I just never realized also how many pictures I take. Like, I just want to take pictures of everything, and now I can try and do that with my watch. So through the Apple ecosystem, we're going to get back on track here, folks. Don't worry.
You don't even need a functional screen. You can still make it work.
And the one thing I did want to do was, and we will get into this later, but I wanted to kind of Photoshop Taylor Swift's outfit with her hat promoting a rival podcast, another rival podcast of ours, and like put That's the Worst on her hat and be like, oh my God, podcast, like, you know, promotion by Taylor Swift. But we'll do that at a later date. Don't worry.
That's not in my repertoire of Photoshop abilities.
Well,
I don't
know
think
what
so.
I literally was going to do. You can just like put it on your story, then add the logo and then like, you know, zoom in and zoom out and whatever. So anyway, it's not real Photoshop. Lizzie once claimed to be a Photoshop expert, but
yeah, I was taking a photo class for how to do stuff. And it turns out it's really hard to use Photoshop, and I still don't know how. So
you can do, you are really good at other Adobe products, but Photoshop is pretty hard.
I would still consider myself to be fairly amateur. And
at Adobe, I just, at all Adobe,
at InDesign,
cloud, yeah,
yeah. Anyway, what do we want to get into? Do we have any other things we need to catch up on here?
Yes, we sure do. Because I want to hear what you've been consuming these days, and also maybe like a little bit about your new journey that you're on this week, and like how you're feeling about that and things.
Yeah. We always love getting those updates. I just really want to empower other people and like you can make a change too. So
it's all about sharing your story.
All about sharing your story. So in terms of consumption, I haven't been consuming a ton like TV wise.
Okay.
I don't think. I think we talked because I had finished Apples Never Fall. I think we already talked about that.
Yeah.
We finished that.
I think that's going to be a big Emmy contender.
Really?
Yeah, like Annette Bening, Jake Lacy, like those are all kind of like Emmy folks that could be up for things. Do you think their performances were worth it?
Yeah, I thought the whole thing was well done. I do think it's going to be one of those that, like, I watched it and won't really think about it much again.
Yeah, the binge effect. Yeah.
But yeah, it was good. And then, yeah, we talked about Three Body Problem. It was weird.
Yeah, it was weird.
What else? We watched this movie the other day called Leon the Professional.
Okay.
It was good. We're like working through that top 100 movies list, and that was on there. So,
is it old?
Yeah, it was from like the 90s. It was about this guy who's a hitman, and he like lives in this apartment building, and his neighbor is a drug like a big drug dealer or something, and he has these kids. So the DEA like goes after that family, and they're like the DEA is a little bit corrupt, so they end up shooting this girl's little brother.
Oh my god.
And then this hitman who lives in the building like takes in this little girl, so
then
she decides she wants to become a hitman too and like get back at these people that killed her little brother. So it was I don't love it's like heavy. Violent movies, but it was like a little bit cute just because this like gruff
the relationship
hitman was nice to her.
Who was in it? Anybody notable?
You know who was in it was Sirius Black.
Oh my gosh.
He played like the main DEA guy, Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman. Yeah, RIP.
And it was funny. There were like a few, like, it was weird because he had an American accent.
Oh.
But there were a few scenes that like the Sirius came out and I was like, oh damn,
that's there definitely it is. Him. Sirius Black. James. Good one, James.
Yeah, so watch that. But yeah, other than that, I finished another book.
What was it?
It was... What the fuck was it called? Oh, it was called First Lie Wins. It's like a pretty popular recent thriller. It was good. It was interesting. And... yeah, so I'm going to try to get back into the second ACOTAR book. I don't know why. I think it's just so long. It seems intimidating to me, but I just need to get into it.
Yeah, I feel like I never thought that I would like finish them. That's how big they are. It was just like, well, I'll just peruse and keep going. And then it is like easy reading. I'm on the last one now, Nesta's book. And especially now that I'm weaponized or I'm like, you know, armed with my new Kindle, I don't have to like literally do pull-ups to like hold these books up anymore. I can like just hold the Kindle, which is so
prop great. It up or hold it.
It was crazy because the wind on the beach the other day was like pushing the Kindle. It's like so light that it's like, you know, pushed in the wind. Except for I'm looking at the Court of Frost and Starlight, the littlest one that I just finished too. And like that's the only one that's not like a literal Bible. But I'm so into the ACOTAR universe, loving it. And have you read any of the other ones by Sarah J. Maas? Because Casey was suggesting some of the other series.
Did she like Throne of Glass?
She likes Throne of Glass. And apparently it's kind of like in the same multiverse as ACOTAR. So like Nesta's in Throne of Glass at some point. And like, so there are like, it's like kind of a crossover, you know, like, Scandal, How to Get Away with Murder, crossover, Grey's Anatomy
situation. Like they are different, but there's some like
some
little Easter some eggs threads. And stuff.
Yeah. So my next, I want to get into another book after this because this is going to be the last one in the ACOTAR series. I either want to do the Seven Somethings of Evelyn Hugo. Have you read that one, the Evelyn Hugo one?
I tried once.
You didn't like it.
I should give it another chance because everybody loves it.
Yeah, and like people really want it to become an adaptation, right? A movie adaptation.
Yeah, I think it would be. I think it would be good. Like from what I know about it, I think it would be a cool movie.
Well, is some so Casey said it's based kind of off of Taylor Swift.
People say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like as if somebody like Taylor Swift like went back and did like a tell-all memoir when they're older.
Oh. Sort of. Interesting.
Yeah, so but I know, like, the premise is the main... Well, obviously, Evelyn Hugo's the person it's centered around, but it's, like, this girl who's a journalist or something like that, and everybody knows who Evelyn Hugo is, and all of a sudden, like, she happens to be the one that Evelyn Hugo wants to actually write her memoir. So, and she offers her all this money. So then she like goes over to Evelyn's house, and then she, you know, then there's chapters of each person she's married to.
Oh, is that why it's seven husbands? Are there seven? Yeah, seven husbands of Evelyn Hugo. Huh. Interesting. Well, and like Taylor Swift does kind of have seven husbands, seven boyfriends. So that's interesting. And then I also want to read, I just saw a new like still of Blake Lively is going to be in a movie. Not a perfect, what is it? Formal proposal. A simple favor.
Simple favor.
Not a simple favor too, but another one that's like a book adaptation.
It ends with us.
Have you read that one?
We
Okay, yeah,
talked
that's
about
it.
that on the pod.
Oh, we did.
We did, yeah, because it's that Colleen Hoover
Yeah.
author.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have
Yeah, that
any
would be a good one.
interest?
No, I
Okay.
don't really like Colleen Hoover.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
But I think it's like a romance. I don't know. I don't read a ton of romance books, I guess.
These ACOTAR ones are pretty like romance heavy. They are like magical. It's like magical romance. That's my
I
ideal
like that it's a
genre,
little,
magical romance.
I'm unplugged.
Oop, I lost you for a second.
Hold on. Okay, can you hear me?
I think you're coming from your AirPods, maybe. There we go.
Can you hear me? There we
Yep.
go. Okay. I like adjusted and my microphone unplugged.
Sorry.
Keep forgetting you can still see me and I'm like flopping around over here.
It's kind of funny.
What were we just saying?
Colleen Hoover, not a big fan. Oh,
Yeah, I did. I read
romance.
a book called, oh, we were talking about romance. Yeah, I like that ACOTAR at least has like, it is a little bit questy,
Yes,
which
definitely.
I like. So yeah, so I'll get more into book two.
Yep.
Did that, do you remember, like, did it draw you in immediately?
Oh, I loved book two. Yeah, because they're finally kind of not in the like prison. You finished the first one, right?
Like the whole ending happened, like
Right,
she freed them
love.
from the
Yeah.
curse, whatever.
So they're like not in the prison anymore, so it's a little bit like lighter, and then they're just like kind of like living their lives and trying to figure out the post, spell world and stuff. And it's like it's a slower book, like not too much happens, but you're kind of like, picking up little things throughout it. I really liked it. And
I
that's
think
kind
that's
of
usually people's favorite, like one of their favorites out of the series.
I think it's because like the main character isn't as useless as annoying and annoying. She is pretty useless and annoying, but not as much as she is in the first one. And you kind of like build, she builds a new kind of life for herself, which is fun and interesting. And you get to see a bunch of different new things.
So is so Feyre is the narrator for all of them except for the last one then?
Correct. Yeah. Well, in Frost and Starlight, the little one, it like bounces a little bit. It's like between Reese and Cassian and stuff. But then this one is just basically Nesta and Cassian. So it's like back and forth between them. Yeah.
I don't even know who Cassian is. I know who Nesta is.
Right. You'll meet Cassian in this book. That's what I'm saying. It's like a new group of like kind of friends and stuff, which is interesting. Yeah, you get to meet new people. Because the first one was really just like her and Tamlin and like Lucien, that's it.
Lucien,
Yeah. So now it expands with some new character development.
cool. Looking forward to it. I'm glad we're more literary now, you know, like from the screen to the page.
So, speaking of books, my friend Casey is in this book club and they're doing a biography on Anna Wintour. And so she was telling me some of the weird things that are in the books. And one of them is that she gets a haircut every single day.
I can't imagine getting a haircut every day. I barely get one every 6 months.
Well, it's like, how annoyed would that person's life be? Like, it's this, imagine this woman or whatever, this hairdresser has to come literally by every single day and cut your hair, the exact same bob. Like, I
I
would kill
wonder
myself.
where, I bet that person has to like go to her office or like
Oh.
go to her house every morning or something crazy.
How early would that person have to be there to like cut her hair every day. Now, here's my question. Like, do you think the Kardashians, like, get their hair cut every day? Or, like, what do you think Chris Appleton does to them?
Chris Appleton?
Isn't that their hair guy?
Oh, maybe. I don't know. If there's one thing I'm not doing right now, it's keeping up with the Kardashians. I've, like, unfollowed most of them. But no, I don't think they do. But they do, like, a lot of different wig changes, color changes, stuff like that. So
yeah.
I'm sure, like, at least once, maybe once a week cadence.
Some hair treatments. I could see Chris getting, like, a every 3 day clip or something.
Yeah, that's like, true, because she has short hair. Yeah. And it does always look perfect. Like,
pixie cut, yeah. But apparently Anna got a private screening of The Devil Wears Prada before it came out. And
wow,
she took her daughter, and her daughter was like, wow, mom, they really got you in this movie. And it was But I think it was
not
a weird
compliment.
Well, it was a weird, like, mix for her, because she was honored to have this huge movie basically about her, you know what I mean? But she didn't want it to look like she was so honored. She wanted it to be, like, kind of annoyed with it. But, you know, somebody made a whole movie about you, basically. Like,
and then it turns out to be this, like, insanely iconic movie.
Right. And, like, everybody kind of knows everything about you because of this movie. And she, like, banned them from filming at the Met or at any Vogue offices or, like, anywhere. So they had to do it. They did it at some other museum. Like, they had only specific places where she allowed them to even, like, film, I think, for some reason. Mm-hmm. And, like, people, only certain people were allowed to be involved and stuff. And the big controversy was Giselle being in it, because Giselle, like, worked for Vogue, you know, was a model for Vogue, and then was also, like, in this movie very briefly. And they said something in the biography about how Anna thought she looked so ugly in the movie, like, Giselle, like, because she had glasses on and, like, her hair pulled back, like, she looked completely fine.
Well, no, she's kind of, like, unrecognizable.
Right. I still think that's such a cool thing for Giselle to have done, and, like, with her little accent and stuff, like, that was the perfect role for her.
Yeah, I think so too. That's just such an amazing move, like, everything about it. Like, I have no notes.
Well, it's such an interesting, like, it does straddle the line of, like, reality and kind of a little bit, like, rom-com-y. So it's just, like, it's rooted in reality, but then also a little bit fantastical with, like, her rise to fame and stuff, her quick rise to fame, Anne Hathaway, I mean, and, you know, the dumb boyfriend and everything, Nate, asshole.
Awful, like, worst boyfriend in film history.
You know what, though? As I'm growing up, you know, your perspective changes on so many things. It's like, if I had a partner who was a secretary and literally spent, like, over 12 hours at work getting paid nothing, I'm not sure I would, like, support that either, to be honest.
Well, Anne, like, consistently, like, ditches him and her friends for work for, like, stupid stuff.
Definitely.
Like, I can kind of understand it. I mean, he was a jerk about it.
Yes.
But and then she's like, I just don't understand.
She had told him, like, oh, Emily's sick and I have to go to this thing, I'm sorry, I'm going to miss your birthday party, a 30-year-old person should probably be like, that's fine, we'll just celebrate tomorrow. That part of it, I'm like, okay, whatever. Like,
well, then she cheats on him, so.
Well, but does he ever know about that? I don't think he ever, like, knows.
No, I don't think he knows about it, but yeah. I'm just saying she's still just kind of a shitty person.
But, like, if her whole world did get consumed by this job that she probably was making, like, 30 grand in New York City, like, I would be like, okay, time for a new job here, folks. Yeah, that's enough.
Anyway.
And then I just started Girls 5 Eva, and I've never watched it. I never really, like, knew what it was about, but I'm loving it. I've only watched 2 episodes, but of the first season. There's 3. The third season just got released, and just loving Sarah Bareilles in this role so far. Busy Phillips and, like, executive producer Tina Fey. You really can't go wrong.
How is Sarah Bareilles as an act, like, a film actress, TV actress?
She's supposed to be like a little bit meeker at this point. And so like she's like finding her footing and her courage and stuff. And she's good in that role, like a little bit reserved and like lets Busy Phillips take the lead with like some of the jokes and stuff. But I can see that she's about to be like building up her kind of stamina in this show. And you know what? That just shows her versatility. And like she is allowed to like sing a little bit in the show, which is amazing. So like it's, I think it's a good role for her.
Did you send me that TikTok of her in the airport singing to her song?
Yes. In the, yes. Right. When it was on, was it Who Cares?
Yeah. And she's just like singing along to it and dancing. And like, she just looks like such an ordinary, like normal person just at the airport. But it was pretty funny. Right.
I wonder if she'll get back into like music again, right? Because she hasn't, I don't think she's done much recently, right?
I don't think so. Oh, no, I meant to tell you, this is actually a related tangent, but for Gugs, she does these like senior college classes just to give everybody else context, but she's doing another like film class this week, but the movie next Wednesday is Waitress, that like
the original.
No, not the original. I think it's like the screening of the Broadway.
Oh my gosh, the most recent one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they like filmed it. It was on something, but yeah.
Oh my gosh, and you guys can like connect because you've seen it live. Thank you very much.
I saw it live. I'm like, oh my gosh, you're gonna love it. Like the music is so good. My only concern, I'm like, what are they going to do? Like, oh, she decides to keep the baby. Like, that's the religious spin. I don't really know. But yeah. Anyway,
right,
I mean,
like God's gift to her. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe that's what that's about. But
I was like, get rid of it and go to your pie competition.
The music's so good. So hopefully she likes it.
I've always wanted to go back and watch the original movie, but I feel like it's a little bit sad, but I think it would be interesting.
Didn't we try once?
I think we did, and it was just maybe
kind of boring.
Slow. Yeah.
Because it's not a musical. It's just like that story without music.
Right. It's kind of like Color Purple, where they made it a Broadway show and now like a movie musical. It's like similar. And they're going to do... I forget. Maybe they were just talking about the Broadway recording. I didn't know if they said that they were going to do like a movie musical of it too. I think that that would be good.
Yeah, I think that would actually work as a movie musical.
Right. Sugar butter.
Some of them that aren't too like stage theatrics heavy work.
Right. It's just them in a diner or like in the place. They don't really need too much. It's not Wicked.
No. Exactly.
So speaking of new music, we have a bit of a situation going on this week, Tortured Poets Department.
We do. It's a big week over here in the Swiftie verse. I do too. I think it was just because, I don't know, April, when she originally announced it, April felt so far away.
So far, yeah.
Right? I just don't, this is yet another album that she's giving us nothing before, like it's already Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
I think her days of releasing a single are over.
She's not going to this week, I don't think. Yeah.
Mm-mm. Like I think she'll just like the album will be released and then maybe there's like a lead single on that.
Yeah,
but she's not given us much aside from the she's been doing those weird lyric things on Apple Music or something.
Are those and is it any sound or just like showing what the lyrics
are? Like, no, she it's stupid. It's just her stupid codes. I think it's maybe gonna release like a line from the song, but it's like who cares? Just listen to the lines in the song when you get to it on Friday. It's just so dumb.
Well, it's so funny because now that AI of her and Post Malone has like gone so viral that like that's what I think it's gonna sound like, but it might completely be wrong.
I like constantly get that song stuck in my head, and it's not even a real song.
Should have made it right. Yeah.
It's catchy.
In a fortnight, yeah.
So, two weeks to the day. Da-na-na.
This is going to be our transition into today's topic, which is Coachella, because I thought it was so interesting that she didn't go to Lana's set on Friday.
I was going to say the same thing. Yeah.
But then I was thinking, or Casey and I were discussing, that maybe as like album promo, she'll go this Friday and sing like a song during Lana's set, or like with Lana from the new album.
That's a good point. Lana's not on the new album, right?
I don't think so, but like, you know, Lana's barely on Midnights. Like, she could just sing backup vocals, literally.
It's Coachella. It's like two weekends in a row with the same lineup. Is that
okay?
All?
This is exactly what we were questioning too, because I think like, what it is
Lana again or what?
The headliners are the same, and then the lesser acts shift from weekend to weekend.
Oh, okay.
So, like, I think Lana and who are the other headliners? Doja Cat and somebody else.
I don't even know.
Will be, like, still there. But, like, Sabrina Carpenter, Renee Rapp, I think they only did last weekend. I'm pretty sure. But we can kind of look up. Like,
I honestly have no idea.
Yeah. Honestly, like, all the news about Coachella this year was, like, ticket sales are down. Like, nobody wants to go. Like, we're over Coachella. And then all of a sudden it was like all these surprise appearances. Taylor Swift's there. Shakira's there. Like Kesha's there. Like, you know, whatever. All the No Doubt is like coming back together. Like it was
Billie like Billie Eilish deal. Coming. We don't care about Billie Eilish, but I feel like she's a big deal for other people. So,
well, she came out during Lana's set, right?
Yep. So I do think it is the same. I think it is the same every both weekends.
Everybody's the same.
Yep, like it just set like Friday, April 12th and 19th, so it just repeats. So
okay, gotcha. So it's going to be the same people this weekend. Yeah,
yeah.
So, what do we want to discuss first? The surprise appearances, or get into the Taylor Swift of it all? Since we're already talking about it.
Yeah, we can just get that over with and then go into the performances.
I think what Lizzie said in our pre show was like, I'm surprised that she feels comfortable enough to like go to a festival like Coachella and like not get like punched in the face or something.
Yeah, right? And like, I was seeing, like, I think she was kind of backstage during the bleachers set.
Mm-hmm.
But there, that one that video keeps going where she's like chugging a drink and stuff and like grinding on Travis Kelce. They're like right in the crowd. It's so crazy. And like
that
obviously
video of her
she
with
knows
that dog,
and that's actually hilarious. Like I keep seeing things. She's like Taylor drunk, like thinking that it's a cat. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, she's like right in it. And I mean, I would hope that people would be respectful of her, but that's a lot of people in one place that they're not. I mean, she has security with her for sure, but
right.
But
like people would,
you know,
want
how
to get a
crazy
with her.
You know, yeah. How crazy people go about her. Also, right. That picture of her with Teresa
Giudice.
What the fuck
is that? Her name Giudice?
No, I think you're. I think it is Giudice. Ask Maggie. I don't know, but I think that's so fun. Like that looks like it should be photoshopped. Like it's such a bad quality picture.
It's so bad.
I think it's so funny, but
I thought the whole point of everybody going to Coachella was like, you get these beautiful pictures by palm trees, and like every picture of Taylor, she looks awful and like frumpled with her like backwards hat.
Yeah. You know what? But I'm glad she just went in. Like, I'm just having a normal experience here, you know, like I'm just in the crowd doing my thing, you know?
Yeah. But my question is, why out of all of the people you could have gone to see, she didn't see Sabrina, she didn't see Lana, but she went to see freaking Bleachers and Ice Spice?
I do not understand the Ice Spice of it all.
Oh,
I would
my
just...
God.
Well, did you send me something like, oh, is Taylor like under a contract to support her or something?
Oh, no, I didn't send you that. That's interesting.
I don't know if that's just people being judgmental, but
I think everything in Taylor's life is under contract. Like, I think she's so lawyered up on every front. Like, I think she probably has a contract with Travis. She probably has one with the NFL. She might have one with Ice Spice or like their record label or something. Like, I think so much of what she does is contractually.
It's so much PR. Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
I'm sorry. Out of all the things you could have worn, and then I want you to say what you were saying during the pre-show about her outfits, but like, out of all the things you could have worn, you were wearing your boyfriend's podcast hat. Like, that is so clear PR. Like, it's actual PR that like you are.
And she knows, and she like very much knows that people are going to be talking about it.
Yes,
and freaking out about it. But oh god.
I was just going to say, and going to listen to their podcast.
Right. I was telling Kev about this earlier, but I saw a TikTok that was, it basically just went through everybody, like a good number of people that Taylor's dated and like how she's changed her style so much to fit with those. So like, obviously her with Travis, she's like dressing very bro-y. Uh-huh. And then there's that picture of her and Joe out, that one like during COVID when they're like somewhere in England with these like long coats and stuff.
Right, frumpy. Just
very, very frumpy. Who else? Oh, it showed the picture, that Instagram that I was supposed to repost of Taylor Bleachella.
Calvin Harris.
Like her in the crowd at Coachella with Calvin Harris. Her just
that
literally
looks like a completely different person.
Her looking like fucking cracked out or something. Right.
Drugs.
Then her and Tom Hiddleston. I guess she's just sort of dressed like preppy with him.
Yeah.
I guess that would be his. I think those were like the main ones, but like she definitely she has a very distinct style. So it's almost like they're creating a brand together as a couple.
Well, so. And the picture I think of her with Harry Styles, she's wearing like a fall jacket with a scarf.
Oh, yes, yes. That one where they're like walking through the park or whatever.
Yeah.
And like a beanie or whatever.
And then you always think of, you know, Jake Gyllenhaal with the scarf again, kind of like fall red, like sweaters, that kind of stuff.
Oh, and then there was also, she dated that like Connor Kennedy guy.
Oh.
I guess he's like he's like a Kennedy, but she's dressed they're like on a boat or something, and she's just very, you know, very preppy old American style, whatever.
Like her 4th of July, like white shorts, like button up blue, navy blue shirt.
Exactly. Shirts, yeah. Yachting. Very prim and proper nautical. Yeah. So it's like, that was a good observation for whoever came up with that TikTok.
Well, it's like, what is it? I think it's in Parks and Recreation where like Anne, Leslie's friend, like has a different box for every ex she was in. And she's like, that was my biker phase. That was my running phase. That was my climbing phase. Like, it's so typical, like girl who changes her whole life to be with this guy. Like, and she's doing it right now. Like, she's really leaning into like the NFL girlfriend of it all, and like bro, like podcast, like Jason and Travis Kelce and like their families and whatever. Like, it's almost like, it's like, who is she down at the deep level? You know what I mean? Like, we've only ever seen her as like versions of herself, and it's almost like, who are you at like a core level?
Yeah. I don't, I mean, will we ever see that? I don't know.
No.
But
well, and I think the issue is like, she doesn't know, because like, she's gone through so many phases and so many guys and so many friend groups and so many like ups and downs and highs and lows that like, now it's like, okay, you're secure. You're a billionaire. You're in your 30s. Where are we going to go from now? I actually think that like Midnight's era was the closest we got to like her. Because she was like breaking up with Joe, and it was before Travis, and it was like 13 kind of like sleepless nights or whatever, and like,
and like a combination of different times in her life too, not just all one era.
That's why I love that album so much, because it has a little bit of everything. Like, it has, you know, Snow on the Beach, which is like a little bit like you know, slower, but it has Anti-Hero, which is like very introspective, and then it has like Karma, which is like basically like a, you know, a like a, what am I trying to say, like a anthem or something, like like you scream it. And so there's so many different aspects of her. That's such an amazing album. And if Andrew Bean is listening and you still haven't listened to the whole Midnight's album through,
oh my god,
pause this podcast, go back to
finish Midnight's your homework,
watching it. It's really only 13 songs, you can get through it.
And if you end up liking it, then listen to the Vault tracks too, because
yes, or exactly.
Are they Vault? Is that what they're called? Vault?
Or oh, who the fuck knows?
3 AM tracks or whatever. The
yeah,
fuck.
Till Dawn yeah. edition. Yeah, Stephanie Meyer.
Up
Dawn.
Till Dawn.
Up Till Dawn. So, I have to say, like, I'm not like so excited about this album that's coming out on Friday. Like, I don't think it's going to be very good, but I think that that's a good place to be in, where if I keep my expectations low and there's a few good songs on it, then it'll be good.
Yeah. I truly have no idea what to expect, but we're getting all of this new music, so that part of it is kind of exciting.
Definitely.
And we do know that at the end of the day, we end up liking all of them. It's a lot of songs, especially if you take into consideration, like, there's 4 extra songs from the stupid other album editions
that we'll get 6 months
next year. But yeah. I think the album itself, isn't it like 16 or something?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
I think it's a lot. Yeah.
I'm excited to see if she actually shares something about her relationship with Joe, because that was so, like, we've never really gotten an album about that very much. So it's mm-mm. like, where did those 6 years go? Like, where did you go during that time?
Yeah. I mean, I guess she did sing about him on Reputation, and then Lover was all about him.
True. Yeah, you're right. At the beginning, I guess. Yeah. When she was in love with her lover. Wait, what songs in Reputation are about Joe?
King of My Heart.
Oh.
I feel like there's a few. I mean, what were the other?
Delicate.
Gorgeous.
You're So Gorgeous. I love that song.
Call It What You Want.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think there's a few. I do not think Dancing With Our Hands Tied is about Joe, probably.
No.
Or Dress.
Definitely not Dress. Definitely not Dress. Only wore this dress that you could take it.
Well, that's when they said, like, she was first dating Joe, so yeah. They, you know, she was very isolated at that time, so that's why he liked mm-hmm. being with her.
Yeah,
so.
Right, because she was at her lowest, yeah.
Yep, like, what a great quality to have, like, you only love, he only loved her at her lowest, like.
Literally. Okay, so let's get into who performed at Coachella, some surprise acts, you know, little tidbits, what everybody okay. was wearing.
So let's get into, hopefully Rolling Stone will let me read this. I feel like they always kick me off.
I know, paywall.
So these are some of the best surprise performances at Coachella this year. So first up, we already mentioned this, Billie Eilish came out with Lana Del Rey. And they sang Billie Eilish's song Ocean Eyes. I actually do like that song.
I like that
song
too.
And then they sang Lana Del Rey's Video Games, which was also good. I did think they sounded good together. I will give them that.
Okay.
I don't know if you heard any of the clips, but
my question is, like, is that really like Coachella? You know what I mean? Like, I always think of Beyonce. You know what I mean? Like, up there, Destiny's Child, dancing around. Like,
oh no, see, I think that they are very Coachella.
Oh, you think? Why? Because they're like Valley girls?
Yeah, no, Coachella, I feel like they want to be so like indie and,
yeah,
you know. I think they're like quintessential coach. I think Lana Del Rey is like the ultimate Coachella headliner.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
And I don't even like her new, I don't even like her new music, but.
Solar Power.
Yeah. And then next up, Shakira joined Bizarrap.
Yeah. This was crazy.
Who's an Argentine DJ and hit maker. And that was his or her, I don't know. Oh, her. First time at Coachella.
Wow.
And yeah, Shakira came out, so that's pretty cool.
And Shakira announced a world tour.
Oh, that was talking about Shakira. Yeah, she's embarking on a world tour starting in November.
Yeah. Like, that is so crazy because you're Shakira, and you come on during this random, you know, DJ that isn't, like, well-known yet. But that's good that she's a female DJ, but it's like, it's how crazy that you just come on and announce a world tour at Coachella.
Right. And that's just great promotion for this like new up and coming person. And then,
definitely.
Yeah. Okay. And then ASAP Rocky came out with Tyler, the Creator, and then also with Doja Cat, I guess, on another day.
Okay.
Justin Bieber came out.
Oh, really?
During Tem's set at the Mojave tent on Sunday, she invited Wizkid and Justin Bieber to join her, and they performed a song together.
Wow.
Olivia Rodrigo came out with No Doubt.
Okay, I have something to say about this.
Okay, I didn't even see this.
Isn't that crazy? I'm sorry. What does Olivia Rodrigo know about No Doubt?
I can't stand Olivia Rodrigo. Is like, oh, I have all this inspiration from these older bands.
Right.
Like, she sings these like older songs. It's like when No Doubt was a big thing, Olivia Rodrigo was probably like 6 years old.
Not even alive, probably.
Or alive,
like,
yeah.
The freaking womb. I don't know. It's just like she tries to be so Gen Z. She's from like High School to Musical series, and then she wears a tank top about Carrie Bradshaw, and she comes on stage during No Doubt. It's like, that's our stuff. Like, go right. away.
And then it's also like the 21-year-old sported an outfit reminiscent of singer Gwen Stefani's early 2000s fashion. Like, no. She was barely even born in the early 2000s.
She was born in 2003. Like, you don't get to wear Gwen Stefani fashion. Like, go away.
That pisses me off.
It's like, I don't get Gen Z, because every 2 seconds they make fun of millennials, and then you're trying to be us and have the nostalgia. And it's like, that's not your nostalgia. You have a different nostalgia.
Yeah, it's like you should have been born in a different time. That's so ridiculous.
Like, you weren't even around for High School the Musical. You were around for the musical, the series. Like, yeah. Please get it. Stay in your lane.
Please try. And then next, Becky G popped in.
Oh my gosh, shower.
Peso Pluma's set. I guess they have a song together called Chanel.
Oh, cool.
And Sky Faria. Faria?
Hmm.
Don't really know. I'll just pick out oh my gosh, I do know this next person. Miss Nelly Furtado.
No way.
Came out during Dom Dalla's set.
I'm like a bird.
He also performed a bit of her mega hit Maneater.
She sang Maneater?
Just a snippet of it, I guess.
Maneater, make you a...
I think that... What a song. I think Dom Dalla was the one that Taylor and Travis were at, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, they went to that one?
Where they're like dancing and stuff, yeah.
Oh...
Then Paris Hilton was there.
Oh, good.
She showed up to play cornhole with Vampire Weekend during their Saturday set.
Of course she did.
Will Smith.
Wow.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Did
he go on stage with somebody?
I think he just like went up and did, I don't know.
He should have played his hit song, Miami. I do like that song.
Yeah. Okay. I'm running out of people that I... Oh, here's Kesha. Okay. So, Renee Rapp brought up Kesha, and they performed TikTok.
Ooh. Amazing.
And then they also said fuck P. Diddy in it.
Yeah, wake up in the morning saying fuck P. Diddy.
That's amazing.
I guess they had to address it some way. But I'm wondering if they could have just skipped that line or something. I don't know. I guess fuck P. Diddy is fine. If he is actually like a sex trafficker, right?
Yeah, I don't really know fully what he did. Those are things in the news. I'm like, I just don't care. I mean, that's stupid, but I really don't care that much.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I think those were the big ones.
I'm excited because Kesha looks like she's like making new music. She's finally out of her contract with Dr. Luke and Sony. So like she can finally like have her own thing. And I'm glad that like people like Renee Rapp. See, I think that is different than the Olivia Rodrigo pandering. Like I think Renee Rapp really grew up like listening to TikTok and stuff and like seeing that as pop. and then was like able to bring her on and like sing that song with her. I think that that's sweet.
Yeah, I think so too. It's not so like in your face obnoxious. Like, right. Oh, I'm trying to be so nostalgic and cool.
It's the Carrie Bradshaw tank top for me. I was just like, please
that
don't.
That just pissed you off.
Yeah.
Please. Like, don't even try.
Not with your Avril Lavigne pop. Like, Carrie Bradshaw would never listen to your music ever.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. What do you think about Chapel Roan?
Don't know a lot.
She's like been coming up so much in my For You page, and my cousin like went to her concert in Pittsburgh, and like people like the Pink Pony Club, and like she performed at Coachella. And
yeah, I know. I just know her one song, Red Wine Supernova.
Yeah.
But that's really it.
There's a new one, Good Luck Babe or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's been going around on TikTok. It's pretty good. I think she might be an interesting person to start following. Who knows? Getting new pop stars is so few and far between in today's age that it's like,
yeah,
maybe it's good to have some more.
Yeah, I've been like, I've been blood. Seeing her name everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I think yeah, I'll have to listen to more.
I wonder if she was at Stage AE, or where do you think she performed in Pittsburgh?
I have no idea. I would assume somewhere like that.
Yeah. Mr. Small's Theater.
Yeah. Yeah, she's definitely up and coming.
Have you listened to Sabrina Carpenter's new song, Espresso?
I just did my usual, like, skip on through. It seemed pretty boring to me.
Well, I can't, like, understand what she's saying for some of it. I'm like, she has such, like, a light voice. She's kind of like Ariana Grande-esque, where it's like, wait, what are you even trying to say right now? I can't even, like, hear your register. It's like a dog whistle.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not, like, adding it to a playlist or anything.
Yeah.
It's just disappointing. You're like, oh, maybe this could be a new song that I'll listen to. And then it falls flat.
Yeah.
You just wonder what people are thinking.
I'm a little nervous to listen to it now, but the song I was listening to when my phone died was Little Mix's Perry has a new song. And I saw it on TikTok for a while, and now it's out. And it's like, it's a very pop-esque single. It's like 3 minutes long. It's like, says the same thing 100 times over, but it's pretty good. And she is trying to start her single, you know, solo career after Little Mix. So we've got to give her a chance.
Okay. Good for her.
Yeah, Perry.
I don't even know any like individual names in Little Mix, you know?
Nope, I didn't either. And she kept coming up on my TikTok, and I was like, who is this person? So I actually had to Google her, and then I found out that she was in Little Mix, the band Perry.
The band Lady Antebellum. Can't call them that anymore. Lady A.
Lady A. So we'll see what happens this weekend at Coachella. You have any other interesting articles there for us?
I'm looking through them right now. Let's see.
Pink Pony Club.
The one about Ice Spice calling Taylor during her Coachella set. She just said Taylor motherfucking Swift.
So did she
Taylor was like
Karma in her
I get list? Yeah, it was like in the set list. She doesn't sing it. I think it just like plays and then she does her parts.
It's like what does Ice Spice have for a set list at Coachella? You know what I mean? Like, is it the fart song?
What is her song, like, Fart? Yeah. I literally can't stand her. I hope she fails in her career. I think she sucks.
I'm not seeing, like, what is her trajectory going to be after this? Like, I don't get it.
I don't know. And then what is this one? Coachella 2024, Women Save the Day as Festival Suffers an Identity Crisis. Ticket sales may have lagged for the once unbeatable double weekender, but an array of crowd-pleasing female acts made it a worthwhile journey. I will say, like, you know, how you were saying you would expect somebody more like Beyonce.
Yeah.
I get that too, a little bit too, because it's like you expect for a festival like Coachella to have these like crazy big acts.
Right.
But maybe like a festival can't handle people that big. It's like, that's why somebody, I don't think Beyonce could headline it now.
Yeah. It's like you have to spread it out now. Yeah.
Taylor could never headline it.
No.
Like people of that stature. So
you can't have somebody that's like going to overpower completely everybody else. Like, Yeah. It is actually surprising that Beyonce did it and didn't like completely sell everybody out else out like in the whole thing.
Yeah. So it's almost like they do have slightly, I wouldn't say second tier, but just a little lower than first tier.
Yeah, I would say B list for sure. B list, like.
But Lana now there's so there's so many other festivals now too that are, you know, pretty big. So Coachella is not like the end all be all with in the festival scene, I guess.
And if you've been around That's the Worst for a hot second, you know we have an episode on music festivals, so please go back and listen to that one. It's probably,
if
like
you want to know what or something. Our ideal music festivals would be, just tune on in. It's an entertaining episode. Yeah, I think we got the gist of what happened at Coachella.
All right. Well, you know, we'll be interested to see what the appearances are like this weekend and if anything changes. I would be so pissed though if like I was so excited about an appearance that happened the first weekend and then it doesn't happen the second weekend. I remember that happening with Harry Styles, because did he last year or 2 years ago or something, and like one weekend Shania Twain came and then the next weekend Lizzo came. It's like, what if you missed the person you wanted to see?
Yeah, and you expect like that to happen. I'm sure they have some tricks up their sleeve. I do think that what you said, you guys were saying about Friday with Lana and Taylor, that could be a possibility.
Well, and here's the thing. Taylor always loves outshining Lana. That she's like her little sister or something that she wants to like beat up. And like, she would love to go on stage and be like, this was from my new album that's out today. And like totally outshine Lana.
I just picture, like, Lana's like the little sister that you like drag by their hair, you know, like she's
and just she's just silent, but then like she sneaks into Taylor's like bedroom at night and like burns her hair or something.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, we'll see what's
interesting
in store.
Because we actually know somebody who went to Coachella last weekend, and that they have some fun photos on their story and stuff. And like, it's just, I don't think I've ever known somebody who's gone to Coachella before.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And she saw like the Lana,
like Tyler Creator stuff. Yeah.
So pretty cool. Remember we used to be like, oh, maybe we'll try Coachella next year. I'm like, I could never.
I just like, just even thinking about those logistics is daunting to me. Like,
you and have it's to like get in the LA. Middle of a desert. Absolutely
right. Get
not.
To get to Palm Springs, stay somewhere, get to the campground, like get drunk, get high, do all these
that
things.
That is too, like, that is also just too many people for me. That just,
well, and that is at so the end of the day, you know, you can't see anything. Like, you're probably so far back that like, you might as well just watch the TikToks later.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you want to go to like the smallest little act and stand there. But like, people get are so, you know, I hate being around that many people like right next to you all the time. So it's like, it would be bumper cars for sure.
No, and everybody's just so smelly and dirty. And that is like, that's my worst nightmare.
I did see that the queen of Coachella, Vanessa Hudgens, did not make it this year. I think she either
pregnant.
Just had her kid or... She didn't, I don't know.
She's like too pregnant to go to Coachella.
Yeah. But like that, can you believe 4 years ago was her diatribe about Coachella being canceled by COVID? Like, people are going to die. Yeah. But to what end?
That was so funny. Like, she's that sucks, funny. But.
Yeah, that sucks. I guess people are going to die one way or the other, right? Like, okay, lady.
Crazy woman.
Just because so she wanted funny. To go braid her hair at Coachella.
Yep.
That Gabriella. Is still one of the funniest Insecure episodes when they go to Coachella to see Beyonce and then they get like tasered on their way in.
Yeah. That's such a good show.
Oh my God. Amazing.
Amazing. All right, Kev.
Oh
my
gosh.
Anything else we need to cover?
Okay, I just want to take a moment because episode 290, we will see if this actually recorded. We'll see if the first 20 minutes are still going to be there. Everybody cross those fingers, cross those toes. But like 290 episodes, that's really crazy. We will be chugging along to episode 300 here probably in the
we
summertime.
Sure will.
Yeah. And we're going to have to commemorate that some way. But like 5.5 years, 300 episodes, it's pretty good. It's pretty, that's what dedication looks like, folks.
We have big things happening, you know?
And I'm glad that everybody bared with us, because I think I posted last week, like, we're going to record tomorrow. And then we're recording a week later. And you know what? You have to be flexible to be a fan of this podcast. You know what I mean? You
definitely. Have
to be able to do cartwheels.
Yeah. You're just along for the ride with us. And that's just how it goes.
Right. So you might not hear from us for a whole month. Who knows? Like, you never know when the next time we're going to pop up is going to be and give us some of our unpopular opinions.
And that's just part of the journey.
Oh my gosh. What else is grinding your gears today, Lizzie? Just like, what else is doing it for you?
You know, my allergies, which is why I've been coughing this entire podcast. So I apologize.
So you had a sinus infection, but now it's allergies?
I don't know if I even had a sinus infection. I just know I've been taking a lot of different medicines, including a steroid.
Yeah, pump it up.
Yeah, buffing up. I felt no different. I thought I was going to feel so good, but it didn't really change much for me. Maybe it just got me to feel semi-normal.
Yeah, you were at baseline.
Yeah, I would say that's the main thing grinding my gears right now, is just my throat being itchy and having to cough every 2 seconds.
Right, so. Not being able to breathe. Yeah, that's not very enjoyable. Yeah.
What about you? Not having a phone?
Yeah, that's probably the biggest thing right now, grinding my gears, is just staring at my green screen of death phone every 2 seconds. So
yeah, it's a little sad. And then it just taunts you by like vibrating and giving you notifications. And
playing music. Yeah. You know what, though? I'm making some great headway in my New Year's resolutions. If you recall, one of my New Year's resolutions was to be more present. And I do feel like this week without my phone is allowing me some time to breathe and meditate and be a little bit more present. Because, you know, I would like to like do a bunch of TikToks and be posting everything and like whatever. But now I can't do that. So just trying to be in the moment and be in Akatar's universe.
My screen time today is only 4 hours and 26 minutes, which is very low for me.
That is not bad at all. And it's basically the end of the day. So you basically made it.
Yeah. Like if I could be just around 5 hours every day, I feel like that's pretty manageable.
Definitely. And not some of those are like productivity. Like you were reading articles on your phone. So that's part of work. So that doesn't count as like frivolous activity.
Right. And then some of it was like me checking my emails when I was away from my desk all day.
Marshalls.
when I was shopping during work. Hope nobody I work with listens to this podcast.
Remember for that slight like 5 seconds where you were like, yeah, tag me on Instagram, and then it was like, wait, untag me.
I do not need my coworkers to know I have this podcast.
Which that did get that us a lot of likes though. Thanks.
I know. So, I am kind of disappointed because we were gonna get a lot more likes with that, but that's okay.
It's already our most liked photo of the year, so let's just leave it at that.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to see the promotion you're going to do about this episode tonight, Lizzie. It's going to be amazing.
Well, we just have to figure out how to get into the That's the Worst account.
The passwords are in the Google Doc. I'll send them to you afterwards, I think.
Okay, great. It's going to be really, it's going to be some great promo, I think.
All right, ready to close us out here, folks?
Yep, sorry, I'm starting to ramble here, and my voice is reaching its end for the day.
I love the Ramble podcast.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in, sticking with us for 290 episodes. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media at That's the Worst Pod on Instagram, Threads, and TikTok. And make sure you leave us a rating or review wherever you listen to podcasts. And we are Kevin, Lizzie, and that was literally the worst.
See you next time, folks. See you at Coachella. Happy Bye. Dead Poets Society weekend.